All right, it's Giants-Padres, the wrap-up of this four-game series. The Padres lead the series 2-1. Let's go to the booth at Petco and bring in the Hall of Famer, John Miller. John, it is April 15th. Everybody wears 42. You've been through many of these celebrations, I'm sure, on a national level. Can you tell us some of the ones that that you were involved with and what this all means to you?
In 1997, the 50th anniversary of Jackie Robinson's first game, the celebration then was really centered in New York, where he broke into the big leagues. He broke in, of course, in Brooklyn, where they no longer play, but the Mets were the National League team that ultimately replaced both the Giants and the Dodgers after they left for the West Coast, and so the game was played at Shea Stadium, the Mets ballpark, and the Dodgers were the opponent in that one. And our telecast on ESPN was really centered on Jackie Robinson. We had a lot of visitors to the booth, including Rachel Robinson. We were able to talk to Larry Doby, Pee Wee Reese, also, who had been Jackie Robinson's teammate, and so many others. And it was really a great, informative sort of an evening for me to learn so much about him and to see so much film and people who knew him to talk about him. And also the president, at that time Bill Clinton was the president, he was there, which added a great deal of luster to the whole occasion. And the game was stopped right in the middle of the game, and they had ceremonies on the field with the president on the field and the commissioner, and it was in that ceremony that Commissioner Bud Selig made the announcement, and I think he surprised everybody that from that day forward, the number 42, Jackie Robinson's number, would be retired unilaterally by all teams. They did have a grandfather clause that anybody who was currently wearing number 42 could continue to wear it, and there were a handful of guys, Mariano Rivera for one, Butch Husky was one, and the Giants, Kirk Reeder wore number 42, but he said, no, I can't wear Jackie Robinson's number. And so he decided not to. But anyway, that was the tenor of the night, and it was a very, very memorable night. And 10 years later, we did it again in 2007 at Dodger Stadium. And we had Frank Robinson came on the air with us, Hank Aaron, and they had great stories of their personal interactions with Jackie Robinson. The thing about Jackie Robinson was that it was so difficult what he did because he had made, and everybody knows the story, I'm sure, but he made the agreement with Branch Rickey, who signed him, that he would not retaliate, that he was going to get an unbelievable and perhaps even unbearable amount of abuse because of the racism that was inherent. And, of course, he was breaking what they called the color line. African-Americans had not been allowed to play in Major League Baseball. And it was said, well, they're not good enough, and they don't have this, they don't have what it takes, and so on and so forth. So he said, if you retaliate, if you get into fights on the field, they'll use that against you. So you have to promise me that you will not do it. And that was against Jackie Robinson's nature. And his wife, Rachel Robinson, told us that she always believed in her heart of hearts that that contributed to his early death. He was in his 50s when he passed away, very tragically, and she thought that holding it in for anybody, but especially for him, he was a battler, and it was totally against his nature to hold all of that in and not go after these people. And she thought that it really hurt him, not just emotionally, but physically as well.
Boy, great summary, John. Just great. Boy, you're lucky. You're lucky to be in those places. You deserve it, of course. But to be in those two celebrations, very special.
Yeah, totally, totally lucky and very fortunate. And I think that the main thing was that the Jackie Robinson transcended baseball. That is why we have Jackie Robinson Day now. It's appropriate for baseball to celebrate what he did and the great player that he was. But he also had an entire ethnic group of people, an entire race of people on his shoulders, trying to do something that seems just absurd now to even think about it, because we know how many great African-American players there have been in Major League Baseball, but it all sort of rested on his shoulders. He was the only one. He was all by himself and not really wanted by many of his teammates. You know, then they had teammates that were trying to organize against him. And Branch Rickey would not hear of it. And Leo DeRocha was the manager, and he would not hear of it. And to their credit, they basically said, if you don't want to be here, just let us know, and we'll show you the door. We'll get you out of here as soon as possible. So there were a lot of and even then, when they traveled, they went into cities where there was still, with Jim Crow laws and whatnot. Jackie Robinson was, in many cities, not allowed to stay at the same hotel with the team. Willie Mays went through the same thing a few years later when he came up to the Giants. But that was just the way it was. He had to get a taxi and go to a different hotel in a different part of town. There were restaurants he could not go into. They would be barnstorming from spring training, the team on a bus going from one city to the other, and they'd stop at a restaurant, and he couldn't go into the restaurant. And they have to bring food out to him, and so on and so forth. So hard to imagine in today's world, but that was the world that he came into, and that was what he did. He succeeded, and he was great. He was the rookie of the year, and in a couple of years, he won the MVP award. And he was the heart and soul of those Dodger teams. He was the engine that made them run, that made them good. And Jackie Robinson, that's his legacy, and that's what we're celebrating all around baseball today.
Boy, beautiful, John. Nobody could say it better. Boy, we'll be back right after this.